From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. You could drive through an entire swath of central Pennsylvania, from north to south, and not find a single public school with a teacher of color. Only 4% of the state's teachers are black, and more than half of its schools have no black teachers at all. Most of Pennsylvania's black teachers work in Philadelphia, but their numbers in the city have dropped from 40% to below 25%. It's a problem that's become harder and harder to solve, especially in a district like Philadelphia with mostly black students, who research says tend to do better with teachers who look like them.
When we put students front and center in their achievement and their well-being, a part of what we have to look at is this idea of themselves being reflected, them being safe and feeling safe in schools.
Today's show, Why Black Teachers Matter. Del Mezzacapa, education reporter for the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, helped us take a deeper look.
So when I was looking for a black teacher in the suburbs, which there are very, very few, I went to Patrick Flory, who is a special education teacher and basketball coach at Cheltenham High School.
When my earliest teachers in first and second grade asked what I wanted to be, I wasn't saying a teacher. You know, I was saying basketball player or football player or a doctor or a lawyer.
But one of his professors at East Stroudsburg University told him that if he went into teaching, which he thought he would be good at, he could also be a coach, and that's what he's done.
There needs to be an influx of male teachers and just all types of cultures into the school so that children have an opportunity, if more of an opportunity to identify with a more diverse culture so that they build the skills of empathy and resiliency and all of the sort.
We are experiencing a problem in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and that is a shortage of teachers.
Well, what's been happening, Annette, is that the number of people graduating in Pennsylvania with teaching certification has plummeted by 71% just within the last several years.
And in Philadelphia in particular, there is a shortage of African-American teachers?
Well, it depends what you mean by shortage. There has always been a very, very small number of teachers of color. The overwhelming majority have been white and female. What's been happening in Philadelphia is that historically the percentage of black teachers has been as high as a third, maybe even a bit higher, closer to 40% during periods of the city's history, and now it is down to below 25%.
That's something Superintendent William Height talks a lot about.
It is really around expanding the numbers of individuals who particularly are black males and to some respect Latino males, so that the individuals who stand in front of our students look and represent many of the students that they serve.
Historically, a lot of black males haven't had a great time in school. There's all this data showing that they're disciplined at far higher rates, and he thinks that having, and this is certainly the case, more black male role models, more black male teachers, will be beneficial. And he's citing several studies from Johns Hopkins University which have shown that black students who have black teachers by the time they're in the fifth grade tend to have a much higher chance of graduating from high school.
Well, I have to interject here, Dale, and talk about that. I have to agree with that assessment by that study and Dr. Height, although I was in the sixth grade when I got my first black teacher. And she changed my life. I mean, I can say that without reservation. She was a woman who looked like me. She was 6 feet tall. She filled up a room. The last day of school, we had a big party. She brings in her 5'6" husband, who brings in ribs and macaroni and cheese and cornbread and peach cobbler, the same things that we ate at home. And then she took me to the side and she said, "Annette, you are smart. You can do something in this life, and I expect you to do it. I said, okay, Mrs. Corley. And she said, do you hear me? And have white teachers said that to me? Yes, they have. But did I believe it from them? I'm not sure. But I believed it from her. So, Del, we know it's important for black students to have teachers of color. Why is it important for white students?
Well, as someone who grew up in a very white environment, white working class environment, I went to Catholic school. I didn't know any black people, much less black teachers, until I went to college. So I think that it's very important for white students to know black people and have black people in positions of authority, in the position to teach them something.
Philly has had a history of segregation among the teacher ranks, going back as far as the 30s and the 20s.
Well,
right?
Philadelphia, the Philadelphia School District, up until the 1940s and even a little bit later than that, basically restricted black teachers to teaching only black students. So in 1969, the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission essentially started a legal action against Philadelphia schools for maintaining segregation in many different ways, how they drew catchment areas for schools, for instance, how they assigned teachers. By then, the ban on black teachers teaching white children was no longer in effect, but there was still a whole lot of other things happening that the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission thought needed to be corrected. And one thing that they got the school district to agree to was a clause that said that each faculty had to be racially balanced. And then it was every elementary school had to have at least 20% black teachers and every high school at least 10%, which meant that teachers were assigned to schools often based on what race they were.
In 2010, with Arlene Ackerman as superintendent, she had the consent decree lifted. What was Arlene Ackerman's reason for doing that?
That it became much more difficult to fill vacancies in all schools, and she felt strongly that filling school vacancies was crucial to maintaining stability at schools and to having qualified teachers in front of every student.
And so then what changes take place after that court order is lifted?
What seems to be happening since the consent decree was lifted is that faculties are, for want of a better word, resegregating, in the sense that there tend to be more white teachers where there are more white students, and there tend to be more black teachers where there are more black students. There are some schools in the city that have no black teachers at all, a handful. And then there are others maybe that where there's only one or two black teachers, and they tend to be schools where, you know, like in the far northeast or places where the white student population is higher than the white student population in the city as a whole.
So, Del, there was one white teacher at an all-black school who was placed in the school before the court order was lifted. Can you talk a little bit about her experience?
Yeah, this woman, Maureen Brower, is a kindergarten teacher at Blaine Elementary, which is in North Philadelphia. And she's been there for most of her career. And she was placed there when the court order was in effect because it was a quote-unquote white-only vacancy.
I had to pick out of a list of schools that kind of needed different types of teachers, where they were talking about, like, different kinds of races and things. So at this school, they needed a Caucasian, so I came here.
She said that she had struggled as a reader when she was younger.
Even though I went to a Catholic school, I didn't learn how to read until about fourth grade. And none of the teachers that I had really took the time to, I guess, figure out what was my problem. They just kind of, like, pass it on to the next teacher. So I know what it feels like to be sitting in a classroom trying to read something or do something and not fully understand.
She wanted to be a different kind of teacher, and she wanted to go wherever it was that she could help children.
And that's, like, my main goal, is to make sure that no student struggles the way I struggled when I was in school, sitting there in a classroom in fourth grade, not being able to read.
It's a complex issue in terms of, you know, most of the white teachers in the city are going to teach black children. Most of them certainly feel that they are also providing something beneficial and positive to them.
So I think that we have concluded, Dale, that black teachers teaching in front of black students is good, and diverse faculties are good also. So how do you get both?
Well, you get both by getting more black teachers, for one thing, or more teachers of color. And that is a big issue right now because that's not the trend line, at least not locally here in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia.
You also spoke to Sharif El-Mekki, who founded the Fellowship, Black Male Educators for Social Justice. That group recruits men of color to become teachers, and they also work to support them once they're there.
You know, the brothers who, when we came together as an organization, nary one of us had thought about being an educator because no one had planted the seed. Hey, I see you mentoring that's your friend. I see you helping so-and-so with his homework. I see how what a great leader you are. No one, you know, helped us make the connect the dot between, hey, you know what, you'll be a great teacher.
They hold annual conferences. Sharif and his co-founder, Vincent Cobb, travel the country spreading the message. Another thing that the fellowship does is release an annual report each year tracking the progress that's being made in getting more black male teachers.
Are there any other initiatives that the district is implementing to try to recruit and retain more black teachers?
Well, they're doing what every other district is doing, or most other districts, including Cheltenham, which is recruiting at historically black colleges and universities. There is a stiff competition among school districts for these teachers.
Dale, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
And that's it for the show. The Y is produced by me and Shai Binyakov. You can tweet us at Shai Binyakov or at Annette J.H. Special thanks to Daryl C. Murphy for field production. We also got production help from Jen Kinney and Kelsey Hansen. Our engineer is Mike Villers. You can download The Y wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd appreciate if you can drop a review. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.